Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Old Testament Festival of Booths. This was the third of the three great pilgrimage festivals in the calendars of the Jews. As at Passover and at Pentecost, believers came from distant lands to remember the events of the Exodus, God's great redemption of his chosen people, and to pray for the greater deliverance that the Lord had promised. St. John tells us that Jesus hadn't gone up to Jerusalem for the beginning of the week-long festival because the Jewish leaders were seeking to kill him. They hadn't liked it when he had healed a man on the Sabbath the last time that he was in Jerusalem, and had taken offense at the exalted claims he made in his teaching. Thus, when Jesus' brothers asked him about going up to the feast to show himself to the world, he responded, "My time has not yet come." And he stayed behind in Galilee. Apparently, though, he stayed there only for a day or two. Then he also went up to Jerusalem quietly. In the middle of that week, Jesus began to teach in the temple courts. And before long, the chief priests and the Pharisees sent some of the temple guard to arrest him. The officers, though, were so astonished and impressed by Jesus' teaching. "No one ever spoke the way this man does," they declared, that they didn't detain him. Throughout the festival, at about the time of the morning sacrifice, a priest would go out to the pool of Siloam, fill a golden pitcher with water from that pool, and then carry it in procession to the temple while the choir chanted from Isaiah, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." The crowds would join in then, singing the great praise songs, giving voice to their hope that God's rule would come to Jerusalem. At the end of the procession, the priest would pour out the water from the pitcher on the altar as a thank offering to God in remembrance of the water the Lord had caused to flow from the rock in the wilderness for their ancestors. But this was not only a ceremony of remembrance. Through the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Joel, the Lord had promised that one day the river of life would flow out of the temple. And this hope of the people wasn't merely for water, for they understood the water was a metaphor for the Lord's Spirit. Throughout that week in Jerusalem, the ceremony had been the same each day. But now, on the final day, at the culmination of the festival, when the priest poured the water, Jesus proclaimed, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Lest readers through the millennia miss the point, the evangelist explains for us. Now this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus' words at the feast may bring to mind his conversation with the woman at the well in Samaria. He had said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The term living water was used in Jesus' day to distinguish fresh flowing water from water which was drawn out of a cistern. The woman hadn't believed Jesus could provide her with living water. After all, he didn't have anything to draw water from the well. But was very interested when he said, "Everyone who drinks of this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Compare these words with Jesus' promise in our text, that whoever believes in him, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. A spring in us, welling up to eternal life. A river of living water flowing out of our hearts. Clearly, Jesus is describing an abundant and gracious gift. And remember what God's word says about your heart. It's no spring of living water by nature. Not even a cistern. It's a cesspool. Way back in Genesis, the Lord proclaimed, "The attention of man's heart is evil from his youth." Jesus taught, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." By nature, the only thing that pours out of our hearts are sin and death. If living water is to flow from them, it won't have its source in you or me. When Jesus promises that living water will flow from the believer's heart, he's speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just faith or hope or love that come from the Spirit, precious as they are, but rather the Holy Spirit himself, personally, dwelling in you as a seal and guarantee of your inheritance in heaven. The Holy Spirit poured out in such abundance that he overflows in your life. Today we are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the evening of that day that Jesus rose from the dead, he had breathed his Spirit onto his apostles, empowering them to forgive sins in his name, or to retain them. After 50 days on Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit as he had promised. By the Spirit's power, they proclaimed the word of God in languages that they had never learned. Then, in the power of the Spirit, Peter testified that what was happening was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. the answer to Moses' prayer. God was pouring out his Spirit on young and old, male and female, giving them his word and with it understanding and boldness. Before Peter finished talking that day, many who heard him were cut to their heart by the Holy Spirit working through his preaching. They believed his testimony that Jesus, whom they had crucified, was indeed the Lord's Christ, the promised Messiah, now risen and ascended to the right hand of God. In response to Peter and the apostles' answer to their question, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Through repentance and holy baptism, about 3,000 souls were saved. In baptism, they too received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was as Joel had prophesied. Everyone who called on the name of the Lord was saved. But the experience of those who heard Peter's sermon that first Pentecost is far from unique. Jesus said of the gift of the Holy Spirit, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Still today, the Holy Spirit works through holy baptism to give new life, to rescue from the power of sin, to bring forgiveness and salvation. It is by the power of the Spirit working through God's Word that still today hearts are turned from doubt to faith, from fear to hope, from death to life. Through the Word of God this morning, in Scripture and in liturgy and in Him, the Holy Spirit continues to fill your heart, so that he overflows into your life. It is the Spirit who convinces you that in Jesus' death, your sins have been paid for. You are forgiven. It is the Spirit who gives you assurance that in Jesus' resurrection, you are guaranteed of your own. It is the Spirit, as Jesus promised, who teaches you all things and brings to your remembrance all that Jesus has said. Every godly response in your life is empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit, who, as Luther summarizes, is at work calling you by the gospel, enlightening you with his gifts, sanctifying and keeping you in the true faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent according to his promise. It is God through his Spirit who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. In just a few moments, we'll hear more evidence of the Spirit's activity as Claire and James confess their faith in the Father, their Creator, the Son, their Redeemer and Savior, and the Holy Spirit who sanctifies them. Only by the Holy Spirit's gracious working in their lives, through baptism and in God's Word, have they matured in faith to this point. It's only because of the Holy Spirit's work in their lives that they are prepared today to promise to be faithful to God and to His church. And it's only by the Holy Spirit's power and strength as He continues to dwell in Claire and in James, and to work through the Scriptures and the sacraments, that they will be able to fulfill their promises and to persevere in the faith until the end. What a precious treasure Jesus promises and gives in the Holy Spirit, able to turn sinners from rebellion to repentance, from darkness to light, from death to life. God bless each one of you, ever to rejoice in the gift of the Holy Spirit, gladly to follow the guidance and understanding He provides through God's Word, and in word and deed, to be His instruments as He overflows God's grace in Christ from your life to a parched and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.